lonesome friends are sad, say the world will end most any day. Well, if it does, then that's okay, 'cause I don't live here anyway. I live down deep inside my head, where long ago I made my bed. I get my mail in Tennessee, my wife, my dog, and my family.
Howdy, everybody. Welcome back to Reading Heathens, the unholy and wholly uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel T. How you doing, Daniel?
Doing good, buddy. Just a chillin'. I do, up top, beginning of the podcast, I want to send out a PSA. If you ever have a Golden Road beer, don't always get all the fruit flavors, because they're not all the same. You know, don't get greedy. It's really almost, just like the Bible stories have an underlying, like, learning opportunity. This is a learning opportunity for my life, is, don't get greedy with the fruit, you know. Yeah, just stick to...
You're talking about a variety pack? Like,
yeah,
with a 12-pack of variety beers?
Yeah, a 12-pack of variety is what I got, and it kind of disappointed.
Daniel, I'm just really happy, you know, that people have a resource like us in these trying times to help them, you know, make the big decisions in their lives.
But how you doing, man? You settling in? I feel like everybody's finally settling in onto this. I was looking at the grocery store. The lines aren't long. You can get food now easily. I saw somebody getting toilet paper. I don't know. I think everybody's kind of hunkering down and feeling a little less worse.
No, I've been settled in far ahead of the curve, have not left my apartment, and I'm reaching the going insane stage. And nothing in the world is helping me with that at all.
Well, hey, hold on.
Minus one thing, Daniel. Wait, yeah. What? No, go ahead.
Real quick, you haven't left your apartment at all?
I left my apartment Friday, I left my apartment like 2 weeks ago. I have an adorable elderly neighbor downstairs who is frequently on his porch, who I have to pass in very close quarters, as well as touching several gates on my way in and out of the apartment. So I'm just exercising at home trying to have nothing to do with spreading this thing.
Well, look, I'm not a doctor, obviously, but I feel like the CDC has given us enough leeway to go outside for a walk. You ought to go outside for a walk.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, the CDC has given that leeway, but the particles live in the air for hours. It is absolutely plausible that you give this to someone by touching a doorknob or anything. But I should have been held up long enough that I'm not contagious, even if I did have it.
I implore you to go outside. I think that you just rethink it and go out, because you can go out for a run. If you want. I mean, you just stay 6 feet away from everybody.
I don't want to. Right. That's the thing, Daniel. Okay. I have no desire to.
All right. It's just good for the brain to be out
there. Well, I'm glad your brain is doing so well, Daniel. I'll tell you one thing that does cheer me up. I didn't even have to go outside. We've got our buddy Andrew on the podcast today.
Hey.
Hi, Andrew.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm hanging in here. You know, same, you know. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you guys are doing okay. I keep having this misunderstanding that when I tell people I'm freaked out, they're like, dude, you're going to be fine. And I'm like, yes,
yeah.
I know I'm going to be fine. Do you have zero empathy for what's about to happen to the lower class in the country?
Yeah, it's going to get like real Snowpiercer up in here, like real quick.
How is Arkansas doing through this, man? Are people listening?
The whole mood outside is different. I mean, we've had to get out several times for several things, but you know, you just stay cautious and you stay mindful. I went and bought a new keyboard at Best Buy the other day through curbside, no contact. Like I had bought a keyboard a couple weeks ago and just decided, you know what, I need to spend a little bit more money on a keyboard for a good one, clearly. And so, you know, I wanted to take it back and yeah, that was pretty cool. But you know, most places aren't too busy. I went to a grocery store yesterday, and that place freaked me out. I did not seem like people were being too cautious. Definitely was left there feeling a little gross. But you know, yeah. You come home and you wash it off. But yeah, been trying to be more mindful about taking fewer trips. About a week ago, we just went out and drove around for the afternoon. That was fun. But
that's yeah. I've heard you can get a ticket for doing that out here. In
mid-city. Mm-hmm, no, I think it's more serious out there. We're not quite there yet. But you know, ASA seems to be taking it seriously, and that's heartening.
Yeah, that guy's, I'm sure he's a real shitbag in a lot of ways, but he seems to be more decent than a lot of other governors.
Reliably decent, yeah. That's a good, yeah.
That's kind of all you can ask. Mm-hmm. I watched a thing, a video about how you sanitize groceries after going grocery shopping, and it was like, there's no way in hell I'm ever going to do, like, it's just like a bridge too far. It was like, bring your groceries home, disinfect all of these bags this way. Or first you get out all your freezer stuff, and then just leave the rest of your groceries in your car for 3 days.
That'll work. They'll do wonders for the cheese.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of convinced that I might have already, you know, I got sick. I got my first fever in, like, several years back in January, and I really felt like shit there for a couple days. And we've been wondering if, you know, we might already been through it.
I took a day off of work. I took a sick day the day before we were shut down for the rest of the week. And then, you know, forever after that.
Wow.
So I planned to have one day off and just been working from home since.
Did see a video of... the Fauci fella, and he was explaining that he said very clearly that obviously you would have to wait for more research to be done and all that or whatnot. But he said he was pretty confident to say that, like, it's possible that at least for this strain, if you were to get it, that you would be likely be immune to it, which is something I didn't expect. That sounds like a fake news story that would go around. But
I don't think we have that data yet. I don't think that's been proven one way or the other. I mean, they're saying that you can be an asymptomatic carrier. Like, I don't know. I don't think that means immunity. But
That's what he pointed out, though, was that obviously there would need to be more research. But just based on, like, viruses he had seen, I don't know. I usually put a lot of what gives me, or what I try to do is I try to listen to that Fauci guy from the CDC. Because everything else to me seems like, I don't know, I decided to pick one stream of information, I guess.
Yeah, that's good for your sanity.
Yeah.
Well, while we're giving out all this great medical advice, I think what that's based on is that, you know, most other COVID strains, once you have it, you have immunity to it. And I mean, that's how vaccines work, right? You know, you get the thing and then your body knows what's up.
Yeah.
But what that means is if we've all already had it, we're going to have to go into medicine, boys. They're going to put us on the front lines of the hospitals.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I have a friend from high school who I, you know, play Halo with from time to time, who is working at – he's a resident at a hospital in San Francisco. And he's – oof, boy. He's like, I'm going to get it. Like, I know I'm going to get it if I haven't already had it. But
yeah.
Yeah, he was sending pictures of the – tents that they're treating people in. It's crazy.
We're usually not ahead of the Bible as far as how crazy things are out there. But I think at least for this week, we may find that the Bible is a little more mundane than real life.
just some yeah, weird sure family enough. Family stuff, you know. We're just a nice little family story, I think.
Been through the plagues already, yeah.
I'm pretty excited about today's chapter because Exodus 18 and my new international version has a title of Jethro's Advice. And Jethro is Moses' father-in-law.
Oh, yeah.
The father of Zipporah, the guy who, in The Prince of Egypt,
the old priest,
sings through heaven's eyes.
Speaking voice is Danny Glover, but singing voice is somebody else we determined who was on Fresh Prince. forgot his name.
What a storied career.
Yeah.
I mean, he sounds great in that song.
Oh, so good.
And Andrew, you did enjoy The Prince of Egypt upon rewatching it, you said?
It had been so long since I had seen it, and it was all right there under the surface. It's so funny, like, you know, it was a big, I remember when it came out, it was a big deal in my Christian household, but my girlfriend Addie is a certified heathen, doesn't know anything about this Bible stuff, but she grew up with that to some degree as well, so I think it's kind of funny to give her some context. But yeah, we were watching that today.
It's a good flick. I mean it's awful as its subject matter and flawed in many ways, but it's got some good tunes in there.
And they punched it up a little bit. I think you guys were talking on a recent episode, like, why didn't they include the fact that Moses was, like, not a good public speaker and that Aaron, I mean, that would have been a whole nother act to the movie, probably. That's probably why, but it's a good, that's a fun story to tell of, like, Aaron's the face, the public-facing voice, but we don't really see that at all.
Replaced his real brother with a goddamn fake Egyptian prince brother.
Which I will say that's a pretty good punch up too. You know, you get all the extra emotional conflict of, like, he was raised with the, you know, when they go through that Red Sea and Ramses gets washed up on the shore, amazingly not killed by the only Egyptian who doesn't get killed by the sea. I'd be like, no, and, like, you know, Moses just being kind of stone cold about it, like, I'm a Hebrew, bruh.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, as you said, some decent punch up. We've got a Prince of Egypt special that should have been out already, I think, Daniel.
Yeah. We got one, but you know what? It's even though it is about the Prince of Egypt, it's almost one of them their evergreen episodes. We can release at any time.
Yeah, that's true. But for now, we're gonna get down with Jethro. In Exodus 18. This is kind of a long one, so I'm going to plow through the reading at a rapid clip. Here it comes. Exodus 18. Oh, shit, I lied. This is the English Standard Version for some reason. All right, here we go. Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel and his people, how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Now Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, had taken Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her home, along with her two sons. The name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land, and the name of the other, Eliezer, for he said, the God of my father was my help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. I just want to point out, right quick before I forget, it's interesting that they know how to find Moses so quickly. They are not lost in the desert yet. They're just hanging out.
Yeah, did he send her away before the whole Egyptian thing? Or is he just, because I guess I don't understand why he would have sent her away.
I think Zipporah left. That's my fill in the blank. I think she was like, I'm going to go hang out with my dad. This sucks.
That makes sense. That tracks. Yeah, I kind of lost the timeline here as to when. Yeah. But,
well, I would have thought Jethro was dead by now.
Yeah.
Oh, people live in long time. Yeah.
Yeah, they're still living a while. One example is it could have been a situation where she left around that time. God almost killed Moses for not circumcising everybody. I don't know if you remember that, and then they threw the foreskin on his toes. Yeah. Some people think that she may have left or for a while after that whole hoopla.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pick up with verse 6 and see if it reveals itself. And when he sent word to Moses, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. Moses was sent out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. Then Moses told his father-in-law all the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the hardship that had come upon them in the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the good that the Lord had done to Israel, and that he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, because in this affair they dealt arrogantly with the people. Well, that's weird.
Yeah. Well, I guess he was a priest.
I'm reading along.
Right.
I'm reading along in the Message version, which is my favorite translation of the
nice.
Bible.
Sweet. Yeah. Like 70s hippie version, right? Or 60s
yeah, sure.
Version.
I think it was even more recent than that. But that quote from Jethro in clearer language is, Blessed be God who has delivered you from the power of Egypt and Pharaoh, and who has delivered his people from the oppression of Egypt. Now I know that God is greater than all gods because he's done this to all those who treated Israel arrogantly.
Okay. Maybe I should, I need to look up how likely the Message is to shut our operation down for just using that translation.
I use BibleGateway.com. I've got an NIV with my name on it from way back, and then I've got,
dude,
I like...
that's fucking sick.
Yeah,
NIV
reading.
With my name.
Yeah, embossed in little gold letters. But I like reading the Message on BibleGateway.com.
Well, I'm also on Bible Gateway, but I'm stuck in this English Standard Version, so I'm not changing.
No, you got to stick with it.
Verse 12. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, third time they've mentioned that, brought a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses. Moses' father-in-law before God. All right. They're going to feast with him. Verse 13. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone, and all the people stand around you from morning till evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make them known the statutes of God and his laws. Moses' father-in-law said to him, What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God. And you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws, and make them known the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, men who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace.
So Jethro's like, we got to set up a holy bureaucracy so you don't get too tired taking all these people's questions about, what should I do if my brother wants half my goats or, whatever it is.
He's kind of setting up like a judicial system, you know, like he's
he's setting up the courts. And look at this is how powerful a father-in-law is in this time period, is that you communicate directly with God, and a father-in-law who is not a direct descendant from what I remember of Jacob or any messenger of God just rolls into your camp and is like, listen to me, I'm going to tell you what to do with your God.
I mean, if it's the Jethro from Prince of Egypt, I'd be like, that's chill. He seems like a wise, jolly old man.
I don't remember. I don't. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. And he was also woke to God. He
apparently
was kind of like.
He was. It was really interesting.
Living in the light.
Yeah, the depiction of, I guess, so it's this, I need to go back in the Bible and read it a little closer, but it's like these, Jethro was, the Midianites were never, they were like Hebrew peoples also, but they weren't enslaved, or I'm a little foggy on that.
I can't remember.
That was kind of the way they showed it in the movie, but I don't know if that's really canon. I don't know.
Well, I was listening to Dan Carlin last night say that the Midianites were probably far more advanced than the Egyptians gave them credit for. But that's talking about actual histories.
Yeah,
they're depicted really in the film as like these kind of like carefree, like you know, shoes off kind of people who don't need all the civil, you know, they don't need to build all the monuments that the Egyptians are.
They're all beautiful and comfy
and primitive, sort of, you know, like just earthy.
Yeah, earthy, but everything is very clean.
I do want to say in this text, like, he's pretty much, to me it sounds like he was telling the story of, like, what they did with the Egyptians to Jethro. So I'm going to go ahead and say for canon on this podcast, I think he sent his wife and kids away as soon as all this plague stuff started to happen, which is kind of wild. Like, I feel like he had them cut and run, so... That I mean, just based on the text, I think that's what I would think has happened.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean,
I'd buy that. That would make Moses a more sympathetic figure.
Yeah. And also, I thinking back, I really, as far as I can remember, I feel like the Midianites, that was like a whole other civilization, right? Or the Medites?
No, I'm pretty sure Jethro is a Midianite.
Yeah, but they weren't. They were like a different group of people outside of the Egyptians. They weren't more slaves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
but they weren't necessarily Hebrews either. Maybe they get to become. I think maybe they get to become Hebrews because they helped Moses out.
I don't know, but I don't think we're gonna enlighten anyone by spinning in these circles.
We're bringing up the important questions.
Yeah. You guys can Google them on your own time. Or DuckDuckGo, whatever is not a weird corporate search engine. I'm going to finish this off here. We're on verse 24. So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And they judged the people at all times. And any hard case they brought to Moses, but any small matter they decided themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went away into his own country. The end.
Wow.
How confident are you guys in your valor and your leadership? Would you be a leader, a chief of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, or of tens? Or would you just be a commoner?
I mean, if my father-in-law, you know, set up the courts, you know, maybe 10 people.
I may be able to handle 10. I don't know for sure. I mean, anything over 10 is a definite no. But, I mean, look, real problems, I don't know. I can't hear a real problem, you know. That's not going to – I don't feel that confident.
The past couple of chapters have just been about these people and how much they complain. So, like, it might be a tiring job. A lot of complaints. Yeah. Wandering the wilderness.
no envy. No envy for these folks right now. But I do think, coming up, there might be something I would want to witness in the next chapter. But what do you guys think about this chapter? It's kind of a bore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's definitely not one of the better ones.
I'm glad to see Jethro back.
Yeah, it's got a couple interesting things. Yeah, Jethro's fun. It's always good to see Jethro. I mean, I guess he creates some sort of judicial system inside of the with the Israelites and whatnot. But I mean, it's kind of hard sometimes when so many crazy things are happening, and then they're like, "Look, we got to take at least one chapter to talk about how the courts work."
Yeah, and who set them up? Whose idea it was?
Yeah, yeah, and I think we're gonna get a lot more of this kind of legal.
We got a whole book about it coming up.
I'm not sure how Reading Heathens is going to handle that.
Oh man, I mean, I think you could spend a lot of time on it. I think.
I think that last 10 seconds you just spoke, Andrew, might be exactly what the entire book sounded like in podcast form. I don't know. We could try each episode. We could try to live by the laws of episode for a good 3 days.
Or just until, for increment by increment, you just check back in and see if you've been following them.
Well, I felt like I was about to start menstruating, so I built a shed in the carport and whipped myself all night long.
Oh yeah, you got to go through and check the fabric of all your garments. Get rid of all those polyester blends.
I have so many polyester blends.
Boy, well, I'll go ahead and give this a star rating. I'm gonna give this 1.5 stars.
Ooh,
it's time for me to be harsh. We come out of some good stuff, and I ain't suffering this repetition for the sake of nothing but setting up some courts. This is a bad chapter. And it's stuff like this is going to hurt the pod. If we weren't lucky enough to have Andrew here, we probably would have lost listeners on this episode.
Yeah, well, you still might. It's a rough chapter.
What would you guys rate it?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I'm blown away. But you're right. We've been so far. We've been in the Bible, and we've been kind of flowery lately on the ratings. So I'm gonna go ahead and give it 2.5 stars. I like it a little more than Adam did, but yeah, we're pretty much just going through these chapters until we get to the Ten Commandments. I mean, that's what we're really waiting for. So like, yeah, it's kind of like in the shadow of that, because we know it's coming.
Yeah, there's kind of a lull here. Yeah, no, I mean, a maximum of 3 stars out of 5. I might have to go, you know, down to 2.5. You know, I give it some credit for Jethro. We like Jethro. We like Danny Glover. I'll join you on 2.5. I think that's fair.
Nice. Yeah, I think it deserves even less. This is an affront to you as an excellent guest, Andrew. Should have had some better content.
I know.
But if you'll join us again, maybe our next episode will be have some more exciting things going on.
God, I mean, I hope so. Absolutely.
Daniel, can you help me navigate us out of this podcast?
Guys, follow us on Instagrams. We do the Instagrams at HostedPod. On Instagram. We're also at HostedPod on twitch.tv, where we do a bunch of twitchy things, and we're going to be doing more things. We're coming up with more nonsense now that we can't leave the house. And send us an email at hostedpod@gmail.com. And thanks, Andrew, for being on the pod again, and hopefully you'll join us for the next one.
Absolutely.
Well, hell yeah. Andrew, do you have anything to plug?
I use my government name, Andrew McLean, MCCLAIN, one word on both Twitter and Instagram, so you can follow me there.
You heard it, heathens. Go swarm that Instagram.
I don't use that one as much as Twitter these days. I've been very much back on Twitter for these primaries, and it's been really, really, really melting my brain.
ditto. Alrighty. Well,
cool, man.
Sweet. That was fantastic. Everyone have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
The lonesome friends are sad, say the world will end most any day. Well, if it does, then that's okay, 'cause I don't live here anyway. I live down deep inside my head, where long ago I made my bed. I get my mail in Tennessee, my wife, my dog, my kids and me.